Well, today is an important day. Today is the day that we celebrate when Jesus came into Jerusalem so many years ago. And I don't know if you know the story, but the story that we read in the Bible and that I read earlier about him entering into Jerusalem goes like this. Jesus had been ministering in Israel for close to 30 years. Close to 3 years. He was 30 years old when his ministry started. And he ministered and he talked to people. He shared the good news. He taught parables with people. And people who gathered around him. Because they heard in Jesus something they hadn't heard before. Something that was so profound that when they heard it, they had to come back and hear more. And that's what happened. And so Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And he had told everybody, he had told his disciples, that the Son of Man, and that was his title, the Son of Man, or one of his titles, the Son of Man was going to go to Jerusalem. And the chief priests and elders were going to take him, and they were going to try him, and then they were going to crucify him. And he was going to die on a cross. And then after 3 days, he would rise again. And so that is sort of the Coles Note version of the Easter story. And so today we're celebrating that Jesus came to the point of going into Jerusalem, and the week that follows now is called Holy Week. And so, because in this Holy Week we have Jesus and the disciples gathering together for the Last Supper. It was actually the Passover meal, the Seder meal, which we are going to celebrate and have fun with on Thursday night. And so this is the Holy Week. And so this is a really important week. And it's really important mostly because of who Jesus is and who he claimed to be. You know, Jesus said things like, "I'm God." Jesus never claimed to be a great teacher. That wasn't one of the things that he said. He said, "I'm the Savior of the world." He said, "I'm the Messiah." He said, I'm the only way to heaven. I am the bread of life." Incredible challenges and claims. He said, "I'm God come to earth in human form so that you can know what God's like. I'm going to prove it to you that after they kill me, I'm going to rise up after 3 days." And he did. And people, it's recorded in history, and people know that. This is the heart of the Christian message. As much as we love the Christmas story and the little baby in a manger, I mean, that is such a sweet story. Who wouldn't love that story? And even to the point that our world can even embrace that. But the Easter story, which is truly the heart of the Christian message, is really tough for people to get their head around. And an Easter, a chocolate Easter bunny is so much more palatable than a man dying on a cross for your sins and mine. And so our world has a hard time with that. But the fact is, George Gallup did a poll in America, in the States, and his poll says that 84% of Americans believe that they accept the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact. In Canada, in the most recent statistic that I could find, it was around a 2009 statistic, and it said that just under 70% of Canadians believe that that was true. Now, we're not looking for a vote on a democracy here. We're voting on other issues in a short while. But the fact is that what do you do with that? The important question is not what 74% of the other people say about it. It's what do you say about it? What's important to you? That's the real issue. And the real issue, too, is what difference does it make that Jesus rode into Jerusalem thousands of years ago? Why should I celebrate that? Why should I even begin to think about what the death of Jesus and the resurrection, his resurrection on the cross, has to do? Why should I be concerned about that? And I want to give you just a couple points this morning. And I know it's interesting. I was challenged a couple weeks ago by saying that one of the things that I do, and I sort of get into a bad habit of doing it, is apologizing that this is going to take a few minutes. and or that I need to get going, or but I'm not going to do that today. The only thing that I'm going to say is that I'm going to be like Henry VIII and treating his wives, and I won't keep you here long. So, here we have a message, and I believe these are some of the messages why Palm Sunday and the resurrection is so important. In the message, we read, God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. You ever felt like you've been there? He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in. Got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. You ever been there? You know, the sins you keep repeating? Oh, I know I shouldn't do that, but I do. And oh, Jesus came to deal with that. This is in a different version, in the New International Version. And if you can read it, if your eyes are good enough to see it, let's read it together. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He bought our freedom with his blood. He gave his life for us. In Galatians 5:7, we read these words. The people in Galatia, they had started on their journey as faithful people. They had started on their journey as believers, as people who knew that God loved them and Jesus was the answer, the Messiah. And then we get this statement. You were running a good race. You were people who were following in the way. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You might be here this morning, and at one point in your life, you were following the way. You knew what it was like to follow Jesus. And somehow, just like when you're out on the road on Harvey and you're trying to go home and you're heading across, well, I'm heading across the bridge, and somebody cuts me off and I get sidetracked. Somebody has cut you off from following the truth. Are you there today? So I want to say to you, and I want to talk to you about four things that are true about how Jesus can set you free. The first one is, he can set you free from the guilt of your past. I don't know. Guilt is just one of those awful things. It's a destroyer of happiness. It's the number one source of stress for people, living with the guilt. Guilt over things that they've done. Guilt over knowing that there are things they should have done. Guilt over knowing and thinking about things that they could do. I mean, guilt has an option for every opportunity. It's just one of those things. We all have regrets because none of us is perfect. I'm not, and you're not. We've all said things which we wish we hadn't said. We've all done things which we wish we hadn't done. And so we feel guilty. It's part of who we are. We've all had experiences for which we're not responsible for creating, and yet we feel guilty. Have you ever been there? It's sort of that neurotic guilt. If something goes wrong in the world, I'm the cause of it. And so a lot of people live in guilt just because. The fact is that there is good news, because God wants to wipe that slate clean. Amen. He wants to give you a second chance. Maybe a third chance. God wants to give you a chance. He wants to let you start over. What Christ did on the cross, and what this Palm Sunday is about Jesus who came to do something. And what he did on the cross means that you can live guilt-free. That's good news, folks. That's really good news. That's a message that people in our world need to hear. That's a message that I need to hear. And we read in the scriptures, by the death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. Has anybody here ever sinned? Does anybody here need... Ed, put up both hands. Does anybody here have a sense that they want to have their sins forgiven? You know, the fact is that that's what Jesus is about. And it's not just this magic wand stuff. It's deeper than that. God wants to set you free from being guilty and feeling guilty. And even, you know what, even if there was no such a thing as heaven, and there is, it would be worth becoming a follower of Christ just to live and to have a clear conscience. But you know what? God truly does free us, and forgive us. He has canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. That's the picture and the image of what Jesus has done. It's sort of like, how long do you remember a check that's been canceled? Do you even remember what a check is? But if you had a check and it was canceled, how long do you remember? You don't. It's gone. That's the same thing with our sin and our guilt. It's gone. What God has forgiven, I can forget. And we need to be able to do that. I don't have to keep beating myself up over the things that I regret in the past. God doesn't want you to do that. We don't have to keep rehearsing that memory and saying over and over again, why did this happen? Why did I do this? We can quit nailing ourselves to the cross over those things. Oh, you can feel bad. I feel bad about things. But I need to get over the fact that and understand that I have been forgiven in Christ by God. And then ultimately, there's no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ. Isn't that great? You get to know that regardless of what you've done and how you've done it, that you matter so much to God. He loves you. He cares about your life. Carolyn was talking about her mother, and she feels loved in that place. You know, we can feel loved by God, and that's a profound thing. That's a profound thing. It's never too late to start over. God wants to set you free from the guilt of the past. Well, another thing that he wants to do is he wants to save you about the worry about the future. We've got a class that we're going through, and it's a class about retirement. And you know, you would think that when people get to the point of being retired. I mean, I used to think this when I was younger. And you would think that by the time they get to the point of being retired, they don't have to worry about the future anymore. I mean, everything's in place, you know? But that's not the case. Did you know, and I may have quoted this a week ago, but did you know that the highest rate of suicide is amongst which group? Men over 72 years of age. There it is, yeah. And it's not people that are down and out or living on the street. It's as they described it, the champions of industry who are the highest rate of committing suicide. The second highest are teenage girls. But the highest are men. And the sad thing is that they do that because they worry about the future, that it has nothing for them. And that's tragic. Because we need to be concerned about living our lives. But you know, we're a people of worriers, aren't we? We worry about everything. We worry about bills, about problems, about health, career. We have worries. You know, I mean, I was at my doctor just a little while ago, and he was worried about me. And I appreciated that. And he told me that I had to stop eating as much red meat. And so I committed right there before him that I'm not going to put any more ketchup on my hamburgers. And you know, so we can spend our time worrying about these things, or we can do something about stuff. I mean, we're pretty transparent, at least in some measure. I want to tell you that I worry about Sunday mornings. I worry about what I'm going to say and how it's going to be perceived and whether it's going to be helpful and whether it's going to move people. I mean, those are things we worry about. You have your things that you worry about. But you know what? If we're trusting God and we're living for Him, I believe that he deals with our worries. We don't have to turn to the psychic hotline. We don't have to, you know, buy a bag of fortune cookies to try and figure out what in the world's going to go on. We can trust. And we read in Scripture, Peter wrote, God's Spirit has been at work in your heart through Christ, and may God grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and fear. I believe that God is in the business of dealing with people's anxiety and fear, because we believe that God is in direction and in control over what goes on. When you start to worry, if it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And so if you're going to worry about something, you should be praying about it first. You know, worry can't change your past, can it? I mean, just think about how we worry about what we've done. What are you going to change? Nothing. Worry can't control the future. Just think about how you worry about stuff. They tell us that maybe only, you know, less than 10% of the things we worry about ever come to pass. So think about all the worrying that we do. All that worry does is it messes up today. And we need to be free from that. It messes us up. Paul wrote, I'm ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. The secret of worry-free living is to trust your future to Christ and believe that He is the one who is going to direct your life. He is the one who cares so much about your life, and He's going to deal with your life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead so long ago, after He had come into Jerusalem, is the same power available to us. Did you know that in the Bible there are 365 specific fear nots? Isn't that neat? 365 of them. One good for every day. And so that's one of the things that we need to do. Fear not. Don't worry. Get over it. Get on with it. God's message is don't be afraid. Third, we need to live. So many people are living without a reason today. Christ can set you free from living without a reason. Do you get up in the morning and do you have a reason for today? I believe that God wants us to have a reason. Deep inside each of us, God put a desire in us to know Him. And I believe that's one of the reasons why He has us, and one of the reasons why we can live a life that doesn't flounder around looking for a reason, because God is working. Sometimes in the mornings, maybe you're laying in bed, and before you jump out and before the radio comes on and before the news gets on and distracts you, you can ask the question, why am I here? What am I here on earth today for? Is there a reason to my life? Does my life count today? Does it matter if I get out of bed today? Is there more to life than just getting up, going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed, getting up, going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed? Is there more to life than that? The good news is that there is. There really is. But until we know what that reason is, until we know what we're looking for, we struggle. Some people try pleasure. Some people do everything that they can do to fill their life with pleasure. And you know, every weekend is filled with something. Every night is filled with something. It's either this game, that game, this activity, that activity. And they fill their life. Some people try to make meaning in life and prestige and power. If you get enough fame, if you have a good enough position, you have enough achievement, if you drive a certain car, you can stand back and say to people, watch me, I'm important, look what I've got, look what I do. But eventually, we begin to realize, well, what's the use? Is there really no reason to my life than just accumulating a bunch more things? Which, I in the end, I'm going to have to pass on to my children who don't appreciate the sacrifice that I made in the first place. And so you're even resentful about that. Amen. I heard that. So what's the use? Well, a lot of people get fed up with life and they say it just doesn't matter. What you need in life is not really success. What you need is significance. You simply need to feel your life matters. There's some rhyme or reason to all of this in the scheme of things, and I'm part of it. And you need to understand that. And I believe God is at work. We are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to live the good life as He meant for us to live it. There's a purpose. There is a purpose for this. You see, God uniquely designed you. You're a work of art. You ever thought of that? You are a work of art. When you get up in the mirror, or get up in the morning and look in the mirror, tomorrow morning, I want you to say, you are a work of art.
Oh, you are a piece of work.
No. I didn't want to say that. But you know what? God has shaped you uniquely. Just you. Just the way you are. And the tragedy is that many people go through life without ever discovering what that is, and never discovering what it is that God wants them to do. Life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. So what could your goal be? Obviously, the goal could be to find out what it is that Jesus wants me to do. And what He wants me to do is different than He wants you to do. But you know what? He wants you to do something. He wants you to do something that will bring meaning and purpose and hope to your life. That's what He does. So, the last one. Our Jesus can set me free from having to earn my way to heaven. Now, I don't want anybody to think that what we're doing is simply selling fire insurance. That is not the case. There's more to going to heaven than getting away from going to hell. Believe me. Because when you start on the journey with Jesus, you have entered into His kingdom already. And so the things of heaven are even part of your life today. Christ has set you free from following the world's ideas of how to be saved by doing good and obeying various rules. You know, very many people in the world will tell you, you know, the way that you get to heaven, or if you went down on the street in Cologne and you asked people, you know, how are you going to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? And how will you get to heaven? They say, well, you know what? I live a good life. I'm doing a good thing. You know, I help people. And that's laudable. That's great. However, that's not what it's about. Probably, I bet we would get 99% of the people saying, you know, I try to be good, so I'm going to go to heaven. And that's the world's idea of how you get to heaven. Keeping rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff. The Bible tells us a different story. And it sort of goes like this. Heaven is a perfect place. It's absolutely perfect. There's no sin in heaven, right? I mean, that's where God is. There's no crime in heaven, no bad motives, no none of that stuff. There's no disease, no mistakes. Heaven is a perfect place. And the second thing that we know about it is probably we have to be perfect to go there, to enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what? If that is true, I don't stand a chance. Because if you know me, or if you've been around me at all, you know I'm not perfect. Sorry, can't make it. But that's why God plans something else. God plans something else. The Bible says there are two ways to be in heaven. One, if you're perfect. There's only one person that lived on this earth who was ever perfect. And who was that? That was Jesus. And He lived perfectly before the Father. And He was in heaven. So what chance do I have? What chance do you have? Because from the day that we were born, from the day that we started off, from the day that we were first, grabbing things for ourselves, we found ourselves living in sin. So when we stand before God, He would ask us the question, so why should I let you into my heaven? And if we said, because I never did anything wrong, God might need to sit us down and point out a few things to our lives. But He sent His Son. And His Son on Palm Sunday came marching into our world, into Jerusalem, to let people know that He had come to accomplish that which God had set for Him to do. and that is to give his life. We read in the scriptures, you don't have to earn the right to heaven. No, for being saved is a gift. If a person could earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free. But it is. Do you see what he's saying? Do you see what Paul is saying there? You know, we don't have to earn the right to enter into heaven. In fact, we can't. There's not one of us good enough to do that. But God has given it to us as a gift, a free gift. We don't like to talk about it, but, you know, we're all going to die someday. That's a reality. And it seems to me, since you know it's going to happen inevitably, I mean, we all know that we're going to die sometime. A person be a fool to go all the way through life unprepared for something that they know is going to be inevitable? I'd say to you, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. It's going to come. The free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ. And the kids are going to come back in a few minutes. But they, just as I wind this up, the obvious question, and the obvious question that I would ask you, and I ask you to search in your own heart. We're not going to beat a drum here or anything. But I want to ask you in your own heart, have you received this good news, this good message? Have you ever opened your life up to what God wants to do? Every one of us came to this Palm Sunday service for a reason. Many, many different reasons. Some of us, maybe we came here out of habit. We always come here. Maybe some of us came out of a tradition. You know, we come maybe once, twice, three times a year. You know, Christmas, Palm Sunday, Easter, maybe President's Day or something. I don't know. So we go to church. We tip our hat to God. Maybe some of you are here because a friend invited you. And that's a good thing. Regardless of why you think you're here, you're not here by accident, because I believe God is at work in your life even today. God wanted you to get to a place where you slowed down, maybe just long enough for you to hear and for Him to get your attention. To hear Him say, "You matter to me. Your life matters to God. I don't want you to just exist. I don't want you just to buy fire insurance. I want to be involved in your life for the rest of your life to make the best of your life." And I believe we do that by accepting God's gift for ourselves that He gives to us. So we can live guilt-free. We can live worry-free. We can live life with a reason. And you can live not having to earn your way to heaven. I believe that that's what God was all about this week when He sent Jesus into Jerusalem. He wants to accomplish these things. You can be forgiven. It's not a great mystery. God will help you in the future. Does anybody want help in the future? I do. He made you for a reason. You can settle your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny today. These things are summed up in one word. And it's just simply salvation. It's not a trick word. It's not a trick pony. It's a commitment and it's a receiving of what God has done for you. So have you received that gift? I can't give you Christ's salvation. That's not my job. I can tell you about it. I can't give it to you, but you can receive it. And during this Holy Week, my prayer is that each of us will consider what it is that God has done and what He wants to do in our lives and how we want to live our lives for Him. I'm just going to say a prayer, and I want to invite you that if this is a prayer that you need to say in your life today, that you would say it after me, just quietly in your own heart. And then the kids are going to come back in, and we're going to sing just one of those boisterous songs that just brings tears to your eyes and joy to your heart. So let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven. This morning, as we've gathered here, we want to say simply that we believe Jesus Christ and who he claimed to be. Claimed to be your son. And that, Father, you proved that by raising him from the dead. We thank you for that. We thank you that Jesus came into Jerusalem triumphant as a king, and yet he was willing to go to the cross as a servant, even as a criminal, on our behalf. I mean, as we've already prayed, we don't fully understand what all that means. But Lord, we want to get to know you personally and experience the freedom that you offer, the hope that there is. And so, as much as any of us would know how to do, we want to ask you to be in our lives, to come into our lives, to forgive us, to be our Lord and our Savior. Father, to accept and to receive your free gift of salvation. Father, it's with deep love and hope that we welcome you. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today and in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.